If you bought a house in the last couple of years, you've probably been wondering, when can I refinance? Hi, I'm Rob West. The Federal Reserve has one interest rate cut under its belt, with more expected before the end of the year. So when will it make sense to refinance your mortgage? We'll explore that today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, we want to give a shout out to Movement Mortgage, an underwriter of this program, for a great article on their website titled Refinancing: Calculate Your Break-Even Point First. We'll put a link to it in today's show notes. The article points out that when interest rates fall below what you have on your current mortgage, it's time to consider refinancing. However, there are other factors to take into consideration before doing so. Many advisors will tell you only to do a refi if you can lower your rate by at least a point, if not two. You probably can't go wrong with that simple approach. But there's another way to figure out the right time to refinance, and that's by determining your break-even point. That gives you a clear picture of when you'll be able to reap the financial benefits of the refinance. The break-even point is when the interest you save by having a lower mortgage rate equals what you've spent in closing costs, which typically runs from 2 to 5% of the loan value. The answer will be a number of months, and knowing that number will help you decide future plans. So, what factors will have an impact on your break-even point? Well, for starters, there may be application and origination fees for processing your loan. You may also have to pay for an appraisal. Other fees might include a title search and title insurance. Add to that a credit report fee, inspection fees, and prepaid interest to cover the loan until the end of the first month. Sometimes property taxes will need to be paid up front, prorated from the date of your closing to the end of the tax year. The first year of homeowner's insurance may also need to be assessed at the closing table, along with recording, escrow, and attorney's fees. Add it all up, for a $200,000 mortgage, typical closing costs could run $4,000 to $10,000. But keep in mind that the more you save in interest per month, the quicker you'll reach your break-even point, having paid off your closing costs. Smaller reductions in your interest rate mean it will take longer to reach that point. Another important factor in how soon you break even is the term of the loan. A shorter term, like a 15-year mortgage instead of a 30-year one, will usually get you to the break-even point sooner. That's always the case with a mortgage. Simply put, the shorter the term, the better off you'll be. You not only pay off closing costs quicker, but you also pay far less in interest over the term of the loan. That's why we always recommend that you never extend the term of your mortgage when you refinance. If you took out a 30-year mortgage 5 years ago, you should refinance to a 25-year term or less now. Otherwise, you'll end up paying more in interest over time and wiping out much of the savings you get from the refi. So, to determine your break-even point, you only need two numbers: your monthly savings with a lower mortgage payment based on your new lower interest rate, and the total amount of your closing costs. Divide the cost by the savings to determine how many months until you break even. If it's more than 60, you should wait to see if rates drop even more. Another critical factor to consider is how long you intend to stay in the house. If this is a starter home and you plan to move up to something bigger in a few years, a refi may not be the best fit for you, but you can decide that after determining your break-even point. You know, earlier I mentioned Movement Mortgage. You may not know it, but Movement is a thoroughly Christian company founded during the Great Recession to help God's people purchase homes. But what makes Movement truly exceptional is that it has given $377 million to local communities in the U.S. and abroad. For example, the Movement Foundation has funded programs that provide trained service dogs to veterans suffering from PTSD. It also helps spread the gospel worldwide by equipping local churches with buildings and discipleship tools. Well, when you've done the math and determined it's the right time to refinance, we hope you'll consider Movement Mortgage. Every time you make a monthly mortgage payment, you'll help make the world a better place. To find out more, go to movement.com/faith. That's movement.com/faith. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
Jesus was tempted to sin, and not just once or twice. The Bible says he was tempted in every way we are, every way. But unlike you and me, Jesus never sinned. I don't know about you, it's hard for me to wrap my mind around that. And yet, I'm so thankful that Jesus knows what it's like to walk in our shoes. He knows the temptations we face. Jesus knows how hard life can be. The writer of Hebrews says that we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. And then he makes this conclusion. He says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." You can get Anchor Devotional delivered to your home in print every month. Just visit getanchor.com.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
We don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are giants. This is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio, helping you apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions. Listen, we realize this is challenging. There are unending decisions you have to make in your financial life. It seems like there's always something, right? And there's more month than money often, especially with inflation rearing its ugly head. Things are more expensive at the gas pump and the grocery store and when you get your insurance premium and, oh, wait a minute, the property taxes are up now too. It seems like it's just across the board. How do you manage that? What does that look like? And how do you do that in a way that's faithful to the scriptures? You know, we realize that once we give our lives to Jesus, it's really about faithfulness to opportunity. Have you been faithful with what you've been given? We want to help you do that on a daily basis as you make those practical decisions in light of eternity, in light of biblical wisdom, really realizing we're not to get too fixated on the here and now. We're to keep our sights lifted high toward that which is to come. And yet, we don't want to bury our heads in the sand. We've got to make those daily practical decisions. How do we balance all of that and live with a biblical worldview, including in this area of money management, realizing we're stewards?
You translate the Greek word for steward in the New Testament, household manager. We are household managers for the King of Kings stuff. Well, let's get that right. It's a high calling. We want to help you with your questions today when you call 800-525-7000. Anything in your financial life is in play, 800-525-7000. We've got lines open. You can call right now. Before we dive into those phone calls today, in the news today, more than a third of Americans, as I mentioned a moment ago, are having difficulty keeping up with inflation. A new report by Bankrate shows that 37% of credit card holders have maxed out or come close to maxing out at least one card since the Fed started hiking interest rates in March of 2022. Remember, 12 rate hikes. Most of those overextended borrowers blame the rising cost of living for their trouble, which, as you might expect, is hitting low-income individuals the hardest. Meanwhile, TransUnion has been tracking credit card use, and they report that balances shot up right along with inflation. Incredibly, the average balance today is just over $6,300. That's nearly a 5% increase over last year. Making this even more difficult is that the average credit card interest rate is now north of 20%, with half of all cardholders carrying a balance from month to month. That's according to Bankrate as well. You know what? We cannot emphasize enough the importance of living on a budget in these times. You've got to assign a job or a task for every dollar that comes in. A budget or a spending plan is the only way to do that. It also helps you identify areas where you can trim to make your dollars go further for essential items. So if you haven't downloaded the FaithFi app yet, let me encourage you to do that right now. If not right now, today. It will help you set up a budget. It's simple to do. It's beautiful. It's right there in the palm of your hand on your smartphone. And that will help you make it to the end of the month without resorting to using a credit card. Simple to access the FaithFi app at faithfi.com, faithfi.com. Just click app. You can also search for it in your app store. So easy to use. Using the envelope system, made popular by the late Larry Burkett, but in a beautiful, modern, simple expression of it. Again, faithfi.com. Just click app. Set up your budget today. Connect your institutions, your credit cards, your checking and savings. It'll automatically download your transactions. It'll learn which transactions, which vendors go into which envelope. So eventually that will just happen automatically. And then you'll get to the place like Julie and I do where you pull it out, you look at your envelopes, and you see exactly what's left in each one, which is the key to making course corrections mid-month. You don't want to wait till the end of the month and say, how bad did we miss? No, we want to make changes along the way so we can stay on budget. So check it out today, faithfi.com. All right, calls are coming in. We're going to dive in today. We've got three lines open, 800-525-7000 with your financial questions today. Let's begin in Florida and welcome Sherry to the broadcast. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob.
Hi, thanks for calling.
Thanks. Hey, my roof is about 20 years old and I'm planning on selling it, Lord willing. I'm waiting to get into a retirement center. So people are saying, well, you know, you probably should get a new roof because of the age. So I wanted to ask you about that. If I was to decide to get a new roof, would it be better to get it fixed before I sell it or wait to see what the new buyer would say? And then I wanted to ask about payment options. Should I use my savings that would deplete it? I have a 401k, or I already applied for a home equity line of credit, and there's no fees attached to that. So I've already in the process of that. And then last question, if you have time, once I sell my house, Lord willing, I wanted to know the best way to invest the money, something that's safe, and then I can maybe get a monthly income stream out of that.
Yes. Okay. Some great questions here. And, you know, I think the big one is, do you go ahead and replace the roof before you sell, or do you let the buyer essentially take care of that? And, you know, perhaps you could give a credit to it. What is the condition of your roof? Does it have visible damage or missing shingles, or is it just nearing the end of its lifespan?
Yeah, it's nearing the end of its lifespan. And I did talk to a roofer and he said that the prices are going to be going up because of the hurricanes.
Yeah.
As far as the material.
Sure. You know, I think the key is here, you know, you're typically only going to recoup on average 60 to 70% of the cost of the roof when you sell it. So, you know, in some cases, you may just be better off to go with a credit toward closing, you know, if they call it out as something that they would like replaced. Because if it's in good working order right now, there's not any visible damage, there's not any kind of water coming through that's creating an ongoing issue, and it's just kind of getting to the end of its lifespan, then I think, you know, offering that credit at closing, if they even call it out, could be a great way to perhaps not put quite as much into the roof, but still acknowledge that there, you know, needs to be some recognition, you know, that it's going to have to be replaced, you know, in the near future. And then you can let them decide, the new buyer, how they want to handle that. So I'd probably check with a realtor before you do it, who could maybe look it over with eyes through the lens of the potential and prospective buyer to kind of help you make that decision. But I'd love for you not to have to get into a major project like that that's really expensive right before selling, and see if you could perhaps take, you know, the same money or maybe even slightly less than you would have had to put into the roof, and just offer it as some sort of concession at closing if it comes up. You eliminate the hassle, and, you know, you still, you know, bring the buyer to the table. Now, if you feel like, or the realtor feels like, that it's going to be, you know, an issue in terms of getting as many prospective buyers to the table as possible, then that's a different story. But in a good, you know, seller's market, which this still is for the most part, even though it's not, you know, quite the way it was a year ago or 24 months ago, you know, I don't think you have to do it necessarily. Does that make sense?
Yeah, the only concern was that a lot of people, well, I do have a realtor, and she's not really sure, but we were talking about, what was I going to say? Gosh, I forget what I was going to say.
Yeah. No problem. Well, if you decide to do it, let me weigh in on the second part. I would go with that home equity line of credit, because you're not going to pay a lot of interest because you're paying it back pretty quick. You wouldn't deplete your emergency savings, which I don't ever like. And especially with no closing costs, that's going to keep the fees low. So I would get back with your realtor, talk it through, have her help you determine whether it's going to be a real sore spot or not. Hang on the line. We'll finish off the air.
Tired of campaign ads, candidate rhetoric, and a mailbox full of flyers? Are you thinking of sitting out this election? Don't do it. As Christians, it's our responsibility to be salt and light. How can we influence our nation for godly values if we don't make our voices heard? Show your support for candidates who share our biblical values by voting wisely. Use iVoterGuide.com as a free tool to help you identify those candidates. Be a good steward of your vote on November the 5th. Vote wisely with iVoterGuide.com.
FaithFi is grateful for support from OneAscent. OneAscent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. OneAscent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good. To explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values, more information is available at OneAscent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we've removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how.
Bernie and Alice Larson are faithful supporters of the American Family Association.
We felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
You can learn more about charitable annuities and other financial products at AFAFoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Hey, thanks for calling today on Faith and Finance. We've got a lot of calls here, and thanks for listening, too. By the way, if you have a question, still room for you, 800-525-7000, helping you navigate your financial life in light of biblical truth. We finished up with Sherry off the air. You know, this is an issue that we need to give careful consideration to before you sell a home. What are those things that you want to put money into, and which are the things you do not? So in her case, with a roof that's in good working order, not quite at the end of its lifespan, I mean, a roof of her kind should go 25 to 30 years. She's 20 years in. Should she go ahead and replace it, recognizing you're typically only going to get back 60 to 70% of what you put into it? Or do you just give a credit at closing? Could it be an issue with regard to getting the mortgage? Probably not if it's in good shape, but you certainly could check with the mortgage company. But I think getting a realtor in there who can help you think through each of these issues, you know, putting money into things that relate to curb appeal, probably a good idea. Sprucing up the landscaping in the front yard, maybe painting the front door, maybe pressure spraying the driveway. Putting in a new bathroom, no, you're not going to get that money back. So I think you just got to be really judicious about what you do, what you don't do. Most of what you need to do, you know, comes from curb appeal and staging. So making sure rooms aren't too cluttered, things like that. Because often the money we're putting into a home, number one, we're not going to get back the full amount. Number two, you may choose to do it, the renovation or the update, in a way that doesn't meet the buyer's wishes. And now you've just put in money into something that they don't even value. So I think getting a professional in there to walk the property with you and make really strategic decisions about what do we put money into, what do we not, and then get it on the market as quickly as you can. Hopefully that helps. Let's go back to the phones here to Louisiana. Christopher, go ahead, sir.
Good morning, sir. I just wanted to thank you again for your program. I really enjoy all the advice that you give every day. I listen to you daily.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
It's been really helpful. So, but my question is, so my wife and I and family, we moved from my state back to Louisiana, and we've been here for 2 years, working on finishing my degree and looking to move in the next 2 years. We've done some renovation to our home to kind of more of a flip, to flip the home, to get some more money out of it based on some advice from some mortgage people that we know. But my question really is directed to, is it with a, you know, around 5% interest rate that we came in with, is it really something we should look into refinancing before we move in the next 2 years? I know it's my family's had on both sides, my wife's side and mine, have had to do that just to get equity, you know, to get money because they needed it. And I don't want to fall into that trap hole per se, but I want to see, well, what's the best route forward with refinancing? So,
yeah, I appreciate that, Christopher, and thanks for your kind remarks about the program. So what is the home's value?
Well, looking at the home's value, it was like appraised for like $278,000, okay. You know, and then bought it for like $20,000 under value.
Wow.
So came in with 20 equity, but did about that in renovation. So
okay,
it's
yeah,
kind of, you know. So that's where I was like, well,
and do you have one mortgage right on now? It or two?
One mortgage. Yeah.
And what's
mortgage.
The balance on that roughly?
Hard to say. Maybe, let's see, with the I can't really give you an honest number on that one, but it's under probably around like 220 to, okay. You know.
Okay. So you got about 50 or 60,000 in equity potentially. And what is the current interest rate?
I think it's around like 5%. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And you're planning on selling in 2 years, correct? Roughly.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay. And what would be the goal of refinancing if you did?
Well, the goal is, I was hearing what you were saying about finding the right point of lowering the interest rate, but being able to do a break-even point, and I want to make sure I'm in a good financial standing so I can get as much out of the home, when we resell.
Okay.
To try to even upscale it. You know.
Yeah. So a couple of thoughts here. Number one is the mortgage that you have on the property is going to have nothing to do with maximizing the value on the sale. So that's not a consideration. So maximizing the sale means, you know, what did we do to improve the property? How do we stand on the market versus the other comparables in the area? You know, you want to stage it right. You want to try to think about that curb appeal, and the market's going to dictate what the value is. And that has nothing to do with the current mortgage that's on it. So you're going to get as much out as you can. There would be no reason to refinance this mortgage. Number one is, you know, at near 5%, you would actually be going up on the interest rate. I mean, 30-year fixed rates have ticked back up above 7%. I mean, we're at 7.25 right now. And, you know, if you wanted a 15-year rate, you'd still be above where you're at. Fixed year rates or 15-year rates are about 6.25. So you'd be adding 1 to 2 points on this mortgage, which, you know, doesn't make any sense at all. And that's on top of the cost. So, you know, let's say it's 3% of the mortgage value for expenses. That's $6,600 on a a $220,000 loan. You know, that would be, $6,600 up to $11,000 just in fees. And then 24 months from now, you're going to sell it. So you just want to hang on to that mortgage exactly the way it is. Do everything you can do to get it ready to sell so that it shows well. And that's going to be the way that you maximize the value. I wouldn't touch that mortgage.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I don't really remember the 100% of what exactly the specific rate right now is. I'm guessing it was like somewhere from 5 to 6. But
if it's anything under 7, you don't want to touch it. And in fact, even if it was 8%, you wouldn't want to touch it because the expenses that it would take to refinance it, you're not going to recoup that endings of the interest rate in the next 24 months. So regardless of what that interest rate is, don't refinance it. God bless you, bud. We'll be right back.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly 3 decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Sometimes it's hard to know how to help a child or a grandchild when they're scared or hurt or have experienced loss. But in the end, they need the same thing we do. They need to know their hope comes from the Good Shepherd. I'm David Wolin. Join me and special guest Darby Strickland for a new Haven Today series called Fear Not, My Child.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at AFR.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
There's a valid reason why more and more people are becoming disillusioned with the mainstream media. It's the same reason more and more people are turning to American Family News. They're tired of all the fluff and propaganda, and they're looking for a news source they can trust. Whether it's politics, world events, or events here at home, you know it's accurate news on current events from an evangelical Christian perspective. American Family News, on the air and on demand at AFN.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Coming up in our next segment, the final segment of today's broadcast, Bob Dahl stops by. Bob is Chief Executive Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, frequent contributor on Fox Business and CNBC. He's a Christ follower, and he joins us each Monday with his update on the markets and the economy. We'll find out what Bob is thinking as we start a new trading week with the Dow and S&P off slightly, NASDAQ barely higher. So kind of a flat trading day as we begin with the markets this week. But Bob will give us an update on what's ahead, not only economic data, but where he sees the market headed from here. Let's head back to the phones to Georgia. Hi, Lynn. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi. I'm about 75. Well, I am 75 years old. My husband's 78. And I've just started thinking about if something were to happen to him. I'm a retired school teacher, and because of that, I put into teacher retirement system, so I would not get any of his Social Security, and that would be about a $2,000 drop in my income. His postal retirement, I also wouldn't get any, so that ups it to about $3,000. We have two annuities that are flushing out. We're taking the principal out, and that will the $1,100 that will disappear in 4 years, regardless of how long he lives. So I'm looking at like $4,000 drop in my income if something, should happen to him.
Yeah.
And so I do have teacher retirement money of about $2,800 a month. My Social Security is $662 a month, and I have 403B money, which is about $2,000 a month. But that $4,000 loss is what concerns me. I have gone back to work, and so right now I have about $4,000 that I can save, but I don't know, and I have, I just need to know where to put that money. I have a money market basically as my savings account, and I've got about $80,000 in that, and I don't know what to do with that money because I don't need that much. Available,
yes,
to withdraw.
Yeah.
I need to, in other words, you understand?
Sure. I sure do. Yes, ma'am. And what is your age, did you say?
75.
Okay, got it. So I think the first question is, have you done your budget? So I would kind of mock up a budget for yourself on your own and just say, okay, what would this look like in terms of my monthly expenses, if I wasn't working part time, what would my income be and what would my expenses be? Let me ask a quick just follow up question before I continue that line of thinking. You said you're getting $2,000 a month from an old 403B. How much is in that?
Oh, I don't have any idea right off the top of my head. I'll get that. It's from my teacher retirement.
Okay, and that's on top of the $2,800 you're getting?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because if you're getting $2,000 a month from that, I would hope there's a good bit in that. I guess what I'm trying to figure out is that money that's going to run out because we're pulling, you know, more than a typical amount. I mean, normally to get $2,000 a month, $24,000 a year, you would want $600,000 in there. Because 4% a year is a 4% withdrawal rate, that should allow you to pull that $2,000 a month and maintain the principal balance over time, not in any one quarter or year, but over a 5 or 10 year period, you should be able to make up a 4% withdrawal rate. Even a 5% withdrawal rate, you know, would be manageable, but that would still mean that, you know, you've got $500,000 in that. If it's significantly lower than that, that's okay. You just need to understand that's going to be depleted over time, and we can't count on that being there if you live to 100 or beyond. So we need to understand, you know, whether or not you're pulling an appropriate amount there. And you may want to consider if you've got $4,000 a month in surplus right now because you're continuing to work and obviously your husband's income is there, maybe we stop pulling that out and maybe just let that grow. Now, so step one is, should we be pulling the money out of the 403B? Step two is, what will your budget look like if it's just you? And can we make that work on, you know, you're saying $2,800 plus $662 for Social Security because you've got the windfall elimination and then another $2,000 a month from the 403B. I mean, we're talking about, you know, roughly $5,500. Can you live on $5,500 a month? If you can, great. We're in good shape because on top of that, you've got the $80,000 in liquid savings. If not, or even if you can, we want to continue to build assets while you have disposable income. Do you have a retirement plan available with your current employer?
No. I've gone back to teaching and I have a small, a part-time church job, which is a 1099 job. So, no, okay. I don't have any retirement
okay. With
that.
So what you could do is just stick that money in a Roth IRA. As long as you have earned income, you can fund that. You can put in this year $8,000, and you could do the same for your husband. And that would allow you to put $16,000 a year away. And there's no required minimum on that. So that money could just sit in there and keep growing until you need it down the road. So I think the key is let's work on that budget and see. You may find that even with all of his income evaporating after his death, that what you still have available is enough to cover your modest budget, but let's work through that and see if that's true. And then secondly, this is a great opportunity while you're still healthy, continuing to work, you've got this extra income from your husband, let's sock away as much as you can and get that growing for the future. And probably a couple of Roth IRAs would be a great way to do that. And then you could, take a portion of that $80,000 and invest it as well in a conservative portfolio, but with a small allocation to stocks, maybe the rest in bonds. I'd probably keep somewhere between 6 and 12 months in liquid savings, and then the rest would be available to invest. Does that make sense?
It does. The only word that concerned me was modest budget because I don't want to live on a modest budget.
Okay.
I want to make as much.
Yeah, no, that's fair. What would you think would be realistic, just based on what you know your expenses are today? If it was just you, how much would you need every month?
Pretty much exactly what I'm making with him. So I somehow want to replace that $4,000 income. You know,
yeah.
at least $2,000 or $3,000.
Okay, so you think you'd need somewhere around $8,000 or $9,000 a month?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, that's really just a function of the math. And so in order to replace $3,000 a month, you know, ideally we'd have about $750,000 in a portfolio because, you know, or 800,000. And so if you're not going to have that, then, you know, you just need to recognize that, okay, if all of a sudden we're pulling 6, 7, 8, 9, 10% a month out of the or a year out of the account, it's only going to last so long. Eventually we're going to deplete it. And so I think the key for you guys would just be how much can you sock away, you know, for as long as the Lord gives you your health, You've got dual incomes, and you've got plenty of disposable income right now because you got his income, plus you're working on top of your teacher's retirement and Social Security. Let's just take as much as we can there and sock that away, get it invested, and let it grow. The good news is you've got a nice, solid base of income, and I think you're heading in the right direction. But I'd probably get with your advisor to help you calculate those numbers. I've got to hit a break. Stay on the line. We'll finish up off the air.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
It was a bad move. Target invited men who say they feel like women into restrooms and changing areas designated for women. They probably guessed other retailers would follow their lead, but they were wrong. Others saw that bandwagon was headed in the wrong direction. We're not ready to sacrifice the safety of women and children for the sake of progressive bathroom policies. Invite Target to make a better move. Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
Financial fear is real, but so is God's promise to provide. At FaithFi, we know the daily stress of money can overwhelm your heart. But Jesus reminds us to look at the birds of the air. They don't worry, and yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. In Look at the Sparrows, a 21-day devotional, you'll find peace by focusing on God's faithfulness as you discover how to overcome financial anxiety with faith. Visit faithfi.com/sparrows and begin your journey with Look at the Sparrows today.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Here in our final segment today, we look forward each Monday to being joined by our good friend Bob Dahl. He's a frequent contributor on Fox Business and CNBC. He's Chief Investment Officer and CEO at Crossmark Global Investments. Bob, good morning.
Happy Monday, Rob.
Not a lot of conviction on the markets today. Looks like fairly flat across the board, I guess, even though the bias is down. What are you watching as we begin a new week here?
Well, it's heavy-duty earnings season. This week and next week are not that there weren't a lot last week. We'll be inundated with earnings reports. Of course, they're important in their own right, Rob, but it'll be what do the companies say about how business is looking for the fourth quarter and into 2025. That's what we're watching closely.
Yeah, no question about it. Bob, consumer sentiment, you have a comment on that in your deliberations this week. Where is it at, and how does that factor into where the market might be headed?
Yeah, consumer sentiment is important because it helps figure out how much money consumers are going to spend, and that's the biggest part of our economy. According to the University of Michigan Monthly Survey, October, not so good, deteriorated, largely because consumers are expecting inflation to move back up, which is kind of interesting. So after 3 months of slight improvement, this most recent month was a downtick for consumer sentiment.
Yeah. And even though sentiment is heading down, I mean, for all intents and purposes, this economy still seems to be chugging along quite well. And in fact, we've seen revisions upward on GDP, right?
We sure have. GDP Now model out of the Atlanta Fed raised third quarter GDP from 3.2, which was vigorous, to a more vigorous 3.4. Last week, we got more information. Retail sales better than expected. Initial unemployment claims better than expected. So, yep, the economy's humming along just fine. Now, we still have to get through the aftermath of the impact of the hurricanes, which will be substantial, and we'll see how that all takes place in the next few weeks.
Yeah, and the market's shrugging off any bit of bad news, and I guess signaling at least that, you know, obviously we're seeing what's happening with the election, and it's looking more and more convincing that perhaps President Trump gets reelected. I assume the market likes that. I'd love your comment on that. But then secondly, that perhaps we're going to see this soft landing that the Fed was hoping for.
Yeah, on the latter first, there's no question with valuations where they are, i.e. fairly expensive, earnings growth expectations very vigorous into the double digits, as we've talked about before. Credit spreads, the difference between the interest rate on government securities and corporate and high yield securities is pretty narrow. All of those things say the world's in great shape. We're going to have a soft landing. Yeah. In terms of the election, yeah, the polls are moving that direction. It is still true in the swing states. The margin is statistically not yet at the point where we can say somebody, in this case President Trump, is fully favored. We'll see how that shakes out in the next 2 weeks, Rob. But the markets are basically saying, look, if it's Donald Trump, we're probably going to have more vigorous growth, more tax cuts, a little higher inflation than we would under a Harris administration.
Yeah. And what about on the flip side? Because I know Joe in Indiana is holding. He's wanting to know, how would a Harris presidency affect your thoughts on the market in the future?
Well, as you've heard me say before, Rob, it depends not only who's elected president, but what does Congress look like? If, for example, President Harris, as the questioner is asking, is elected president, and she has a Democratic Senate, which is very unlikely, and a Democratic House, the market won't like it at all because of the big tax increases that would come into play that would hurt corporate profits. But the probability of a Democratic sweep is not very high at all.
Yeah. So essentially, that divided government kind of puts a throttle on the change that can happen, and that's what the market prefers?
Exactly. In either direction. You know, if it's a Republican sweep, I think that's less negative on the market than a Democratic sweep, but it will... Let's put it this way. Divided government prevents whoever is president from doing, quote, extreme things. There's a check and a balance, as the founders of our country put in place, and markets will take a sigh of relief that nothing extraordinarily extreme can be done.
Yeah. Bob, what about, I mean, I know there's significant thoughts related to the death tax under a Harris presidency. And of course, there's going to be increases on taxes, a lot of spending that will happen as well. And we know that the debt is becoming a bigger and bigger issue. It's not an issue until it's the only issue, right? So how long does it take for these things to work themselves through the system such that it really could put a damper on macroeconomic productivity?
Great question. You know, only God knows, but I think it's safe to say now, with interest expense on federal debt the largest component of the federal budget, we're in that territory now. You know, you've heard me talk about the bond market vigilantes coming out and say, you can't keep doing this. And in that case, interest rates will go up. Interestingly, we've watched the 10-year Treasury yield move up from 350, 360 just about a month ago. I'm looking at my screen. It's 416 today. That's part of what's going on. Expectations that we'll have a President Trump, a little more inflation, a little more growth, but also concern about how we're going to pay our bills.
Yeah. One last question, Bob, real practical. You just mentioned the 10-year Treasury at 416. For folks that are maybe lamenting the fact that their CD rates are coming down, about the best they can do, you know, north of 4% is maybe a 3-year CD. If they can wait a full 10 years, do you recommend somebody buy a 10-year Treasury outright?
Yeah, you can have some of your portfolio there. My belief is, under a Donald Trump victory, probably interest rates move up some more, and that 416 we're talking about today could be 450. So I'm saying have a little dry powder if you're trying to look at a 10-year horizon. You can probably get a little better deal out there.
All right, very good. Bob, we always appreciate it, my friend. Have a great week.
You the same. Thanks.
That's Bob Dahl. He's CEO and CIO at Crossmark Global. You can sign up at Crossmark Global to get his weekly Dolls Deliberations. Let's go to Indiana. Joe, how did that resonate with you? And do you have any other questions just about the trajectory of the markets under a potential Harris presidency?
Wow, Rob, that, what a great way to answer my question. That was pretty cool to have Bob Dahl pipe in on that. And I should have phrased my question that way in reference to a sweep on either side. And that, you know, if there is a Democrat sweep, I am probably going to have a hunker down mentality, not to the extent of pulling all the way out of the market, but very conservative in investments. I've done well for myself, and I would probably and don't really need the money that I've invested. I have enough to live on without it. So, you know, I would probably recede from the market severely. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'm always hesitant to make, you know, full-scale moves in one direction or another. I mean, I think there's a reason to be more strategic in your investing philosophy and yet still stay long-term on your focus, just because, you know, the implications, at least economically, tend to be a little bit more muted than we often expect them to be, especially with divided government, to Bob's point. And I think, you know, it's just looking very unlikely we would have control across the board on either side at this point. Now, if we were to get it, could that be problematic? Would the market, you know, not like that? Absolutely. In fact, the team at Crossmark Global actually came out with a report specifically related to the market and the implications of that unified government in either direction. And their conclusion was it would be problematic for the market. But again, where do you go with that money? And especially if inflation's headed higher because of all the spending, you know, how do you offset the loss of purchasing power? And that's why I'm hesitant. And, you know, until we get some real systemic problems, which, you know, these policy decisions could lead to systemic problems down the road. I'm not, you know, burying my head in the sand, but I still think they're 10 or, you know, years plus down the road. And so I think for that reason, you know, I think there's a case to be made that you still need to stay invested. Remember, the Federal Reserve is far more powerful than the president, at least for, you know, relatively near-term market action. So let's keep our eyes on it. And it's a great question. I think my bias is always to staying invested and tweaking the allocation more so than getting out and going into a bunker mentality. But it's a good question, Joe, and I'm glad we were able to get Bob to weigh in on it. Thanks for your call, sir. God bless you. Belinda's in Texas. I've got about 60 seconds, Belinda. How can I help you?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Trying to find out if selling a house to get equity to do some things as our savings continue to dwindle and is better than refinancing.
So it's a rental property, is that right?
No, it's the home we live in. We could use another home, trying to stay under that 30% of income. We could trade homes, so to speak, but is it wiser to do that to get some funds, extra funds, or should we refinance? Our current home is 3% or 2.83, so it's pretty low.
Yeah.
So we would be trading a higher interest rate.
Okay, so you have a second property that you would sell, and that's where you would generate the cash? Is that what you're thinking?
No, our primary
home. Okay. Yeah, I guess I'm just slightly confused on that. So let's do this. You stay on the line. We'll get your information, and I apologize. I don't fully understand the question, but once I'm clear, I'd love to weigh in on it. So stay right there. We'll get your information. Folks, that's going to do it for us. So thankful to have you along with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. A big thanks to my team today, Pat, Sandy, Devin, Jim. Couldn't do it without them, and everybody here at FaithFi that makes this happen. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.